Today's story is from Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. You know.
I have tried every year to get my children to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and okay. they are bored to tears with it. They won't watch it. I can't.
My name's May, and I honestly don't know if I've ever seen the Charlie Brown special.
My name's Eric, and Charlie Brown Christmas is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time.
Oh, sounds like you're inviting me over for dinner and Charlie Brown.
Nope. Don't ask the kids to watch, that's for sure. This is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're diving deep into the Christmas story to find out what the Bible says, or doesn't say, about that silent night in the little town of Bethlehem. Your grandma's porcelain nativity set? It's way off. The actual story of Christmas is violent, scandalous, and downright weird. But it's part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
Strange lights in the sky, otherworldly choruses, herd animals. Today on Too Long Didn't Read, angels show up and scare the sheep out of some shepherds. And why you should always trust a kid with a blanket. Linus knows what's up.
Did you have a blankie as a kid?
I probably did. I don't ever remember having one. I had a couple of stuffed animals that I was attached to. I remember being attached to them, but I don't ever remember a blankie. You?
Yellow, quilted, one corner that was perfect for going to sleep to.
So today it's shepherds and angels.
Shepherds. Okay, here's my perception of shepherds, and Okay. You tell me. I assume it's off because apparently
everything we
believe
about
has
Christmas
led me down an incorrect path.
Everything you believe about Christmas is wrong.
I know. Shepherds. I imagine them being pretty strong, smell like sheep.
Two for
probably.
Two.
Well, let's just say. That's all I know about them, is that they would smell like sheep, and they'd probably be pretty strong. Although I will say I know one other thing about them, that they cared a lot about the flock. I know that they knew their sheep really well, enough to know that when one was missing, they knew that.
Yep.
They're good caretakers.
Yeah, so...
What else do I not know about shepherds?
So, I mean, that's a fairly accurate picture. Strong is probably, may have been, may not have been, they were outdoors a lot, so they would have been hardy, tough sorts of people, whether they were, like, super physically strong or not. They camped a lot. We'll put it that way.
Big beards.
Most likely. Definitely smelled. I mean, you spend 24 hours a day with any kind of livestock, you're going to stink. You know, not a lot of showers. Spent a lot of their time outside of common society, basically. You know, you were outside. Like, when you kept sheep, you don't keep them in the middle of the town. You know, they need pasture. They have to graze. And so you would take them out into the fields. And so they would spend a lot of time out away from the rest of society. So you have...
Not a lot of social interaction is what I'm
hearing.
Not a lot
of social interaction, used to being alone. And there was generally a perception, probably at least somewhat well-earned, of being less than savory characters at times.
Oh.
It was typically assumed that they were untrustworthy, whether they any one individual shepherd actually was or not.
That totally goes against what I would expect, because weren't people entrusting their livelihood to them to watch them?
It's one thing to entrust them with a sheep. It's another thing to entrust them with your money. You know? And yes, livestock were money, but... To put it in a modern context, they would be the kind of person you would look at and assume, if the circumstances were right, you'd rob me blind.
Hmm.
You just assumed that about shepherds.
Wow.
So they.
But why?
Unfamiliar perception of being unsavory, and I'm sure that there's at least a sizable number of shepherds who also doubled as bandits, you know, because they're out in this wilderness country that they know really well that others don't.
And they have
you got a side hustle going on over here.
Did they have to be able to, like, were they dealing with bandits?
They may have dealt with them some, though your average bandit's not likely to go attack a shepherd because he's not going to have any money. If you're a bandit, you're not going to go and steal a flock of sheep. That's way more work than it would be worth.
Got it. We don't get to say bandit enough. It's been fun saying
bandit.
That. If this is an outdoor job, is this something that they're doing year-round, or is this more seasonal? And is that maybe a part of why people didn't trust them, because they probably had to move around a lot?
They'd move around a lot. It is a seasonal job, so you would keep sheep out in the wilderness, out in pasture, from March to November or so.
I've got a question then. Because we have just debunked another thing. You just said March and November.
Yep.
We celebrate Christmas in December.
We do.
So Jesus' birthday wasn't in December?
Probably not, no.
When was it?
Well, between March and November.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, why do we pick December 25th? It was just the most Christmassy sounding day, or?
No. So the short version is, in the first few centuries of the church, there was a major pagan holiday, basically, that was celebrated on December 25th. And Christians annexed it, basically, and started celebrating Jesus' birth then.
Rebranding.
Exactly. It's like people are already used to celebrating on this day. Let's see if we can repurpose it to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And they did.
Okay. I'm not surprised anymore that, like, these are the first people that know about Jesus being born because God sends an angel to tell them, just like he sent an angel to tell Mary. Honestly, I'm not shocked anymore that these unsavory, dirty, smelly dudes are the ones that hear about Jesus first, because, shocker, God has done something surprising. Instead of going to the wealthy or the elite or royalty or something, he goes to the shepherds. He goes to the lowly, kind of dismissed group of people. Mm-hmm. Is there more that I'm not understanding about why it's significant that God told shepherds this news first?
It's like you said, it's right on par with his typical MO. You have these guys who are not typically thought of well in society. But like you mentioned, I don't think I actually circled back around to it earlier. There's a reason that shepherd is used so frequently in the Old Testament and so positively even up until now. Like, there is something very beneficial that they do. And to be a good shepherd, you actually have to know your sheep by sight, by name, by smell. Like, you've got to know them. And so, like, in and among all of the stigma that was attached to them, there was something very valuable and very true to God's character that they did and that they represented. You know, so for these angels to show up, scare the crap out of yet another group of people, you know, because that's what angels do when they show up. The first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, these guys who probably their testimony alone wouldn't have swayed anybody. If you were the mayor of Bethlehem and you have a group of shepherds come to you and say the Messiah's been born, you won't believe them. Mm. They're not seen as trustworthy. So again, it's this reversal of power that happens throughout the Bible of God saying, it doesn't matter that these people don't have any weight in the eyes of society. I'm going to honor them and I'm going to push my kingdom forward through them regardless of the power structures that exist. I don't need that power structure to do what I'm going to do in the world.
Don't need any help.
Right.
I got this.
I got this.
So put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. Your wife has just had a baby. And then suddenly, I guess the nativity scenes I see, it's always three shepherds, but who knows? Do you think it was three or more than three?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume more than three, you know, especially if this herd is of any size.
Let's say it's eight, just for...
Sure.
Sake of guessing.
Sure.
Eight smelly, dirty, socially awkward, potentially.
Yep.
Maybe shifty guys show up very eager to see your newborn.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck are you thinking in that moment? Because we don't know that an angel came and said, oh, by the way, I'm sending a small group of shepherds to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Right.
So these are potentially some unexpected visitors.
I think back to after the birth of each of my kids. And in the time after each of them are born, I remember being very excited, very happy, and very much on like sensory overload. Like, I'm not processing anything at this point. It's like, oh, shepherds, okay, whatever. Like, I just, you hit a point where you're just like, I can't rationally process anything else. You know, and so for these guys to show up, I'm probably shocked. I'm probably not any more freaked out than I've been for any of the rest of this.
It was his first kid, so as far as he knows, this is just par for the course.
Right?
Oh, this is the part where the shepherds come in.
Of course. I guess this is what we do now. What's interesting is if you go back to the section where the angels were making this pronouncement to them, unlike Mary and Joseph, the shepherds don't object. They don't doubt. We don't see any kind of like, are you sure sort of thing from them. They're just like, okay, this clearly is the thing. And they go. So for these guys to show up, you know, I imagine Joseph going, who are you and why are you here? An angel came and told us that the Messiah has been born. You know, if I'm Joseph and they say that to me, like, there's no other way that anybody has any idea of what's just happened unless God himself does that.
That's some credibility right there.
Right, and so you go, well, yeah, here he is. Like, you know, I'm sure he's freaked out. And at the same time, I'm sure he's going, it's one more proof. It's one more thing that God is doing to orchestrate this. And you actually even see at the very end of the passage, it says that Mary treasured these things up in her heart and meditated on them. You imagine for Mary, certainly for Mary, and I assume for Joseph as well, like they're taking all of this in. This kid's literally just been born. And the amount of stuff already that has clearly been God stepping into the world and doing something after, again, remember, 400 years where the nation of Israel has heard nothing from God. For them to be like front row seat to all of this activity, you know, it's overwhelming. But at the same time, like, how amazing to be the ones that are right there. You know, so I'm sure there's a lot of mixed emotion there attached to it.
Why is this in the Bible? But more so, I want to know why over and over again? Because what I'm guessing you're going to say is that this tells us that God uses the people who are unexpected, lowly, they have no prestige, and that is a rerun. We've heard that over and over again. Why is that this repeatable theme through the Bible? Why is a handful of these stories not enough? Because it seems to be the basis of almost everything. God uses people who are unworthy to accomplish his plans.
He has to say it over and over because we forget, because we're dense, because we don't get it, because we're stubborn, all those sorts of things. I mean, the Old Testament is just full of moments and stories where God says, I want you to build a monument in this place. I want you to pile up an altar here. He constantly has them building monuments, and then it will say things like, so that when you're walking with your children and they see the monument and they say, what is that? You can tell them the story. You know, so he's constantly building reminders for them to not only be reminded of what God had done for them, but to pass that thing on. And again, all throughout the scriptures, it said, you know, pass these stories down, tell them to your children, tell them to your children's children. Like, God knows. You forget and you lose heart and you get distracted and you get tired and you get weary and all of those sorts of things. And so if you're not constantly reminded, you forget.
If you could decide what the one thing is that people remember about all of these Christmas stories, if there's one thing that you wish we wouldn't forget come December 26th every year, what would that one thing be?
I would say it's in what's in verse 10 and 11. Where the angel says, don't be afraid, I bring good news that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you. And I say that because there's so much packed into just that little bit. You have kind of three pieces there that are super important. Be for all the people. back at the beginning of the Old Testament, when God first starts having a relationship with Abram, later known as Abraham, the promises that he makes to Abraham are that through your family, I will bless all the earth. I will bless all the people. You have the same kind of language happening here. And these guys would have recognized it. Even being untrained common shepherds, they would have known the stories of their people. They would have known the history. And then for them to hear an angel say, this is for all the people, they know what that means. Today, a savior who is Messiah the Lord. Those two terms are different and they're significant. You know, Luke would have chosen these really, really intentionally. Savior is not a word that's used all that often in Jewish culture, in Jewish literature. You see it occasionally, but that word is extremely common in Greek literature, in Greek, like to the audience that Luke would have been writing to, you know, to people who didn't come from a Jewish background. The word savior would have been hugely significant. They would have said, like, I know what this story is about then. You said savior. I know already exactly what the trajectory is for this kid. Messiah is hugely significant to a Jewish audience. Like, this is the promised one. This is the one that they had been waiting for hundreds and thousands of years. This is the one that God had promised from the very beginning. I'm going to send someone who will rescue you. The Christmas story doesn't start with Mary and Joseph. The Christmas story started thousands of years earlier with God's initial plan to rescue humanity. So why this is so significant is because in one sentence there, the angel says all of that. He references all of that. Like, this is for all the people. A savior who is Messiah. Like, this is everything that he's going to be about, and he's born for you. You who are outcast, you who are downtrodden, you who are ignored by society, you who would be the last to know or last to benefit from anything that happens in society is born for you. Mm. And you and everyone, but it's like, you get it first. So a lot of things about your grandma's nativity scene are wrong, but the shepherds, they were definitely there. Read their story in Luke 2, 8 through 20 for yourself and let us know what speaks to you, what questions do you have, what surprised you or confused you or was just weird. Continue the conversation with both of us at podcasts@crossroads.net. And if you like this podcast, share it with a friend.
Special thanks for our music to Jacob Durbin. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do you think the shepherds smelled the baby Jesus' head? Because that's a thing people always do. I mean, baby heads smell great.
Baby heads smell great after they've been washed.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were still in that barn.
There's no Johnson's & Johnson's baby soap.
Oh.
In 4 BC.
Another thing that's inaccurate about the nativity scenes,
right?
I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, you would have cleaned him up. You would have washed him and stuff. But, like, babies are just people. And, like, if you don't wash a small child with something that smells good, they're not just naturally going to smell good on their own. People stink.
I honestly did not know that. I really thought physiologically babies had a nice smell. Anyway, well.
Sorry.
Sometimes you ruin things for me.